we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded message from the Heart to Heart Women's 2018 retreat. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The theme for this retreat is Reach for It. For more information about the Refuge Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, it's really nice to be here. It's cool up here, isn't it? Cooler than down there. So thank you for inviting me back. I think you guys are a great, great group. I know we have a lot of different churches, I think. Who's not from Refuge? Go ahead and clap so we can hear you. Who's not from Calvary Refuge? Thank you, guys. So welcome, welcome. My Bible says there's one church, one baptism, one Lord and Savior of us all. So it's nice to gather in the name of Jesus, isn't it? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we look in your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that your word would look into us. Lord, we know that your word is not just a book of commandments or statutes or guidelines. But Lord, it's your voice. And you want it to express to us your heart and your mind, your plans for us. Lord, any boundaries you give us is always motivated by love, Lord, to protect us and to guide us into a way that's safe and enduring and able to give us a quality of life for which Christ, you came to give us, that abundant life. Lord, your word contains such great examples of people with their failures, their successes, their regrets, their failures morally, people that turn from you. You've given us your word with so many great examples for us to glean from so that we can avoid some of the mistakes they've made, or we can follow their examples and their patterns. And Lord, even if we didn't have a good father or mother, or we haven't had a lot of Christian friends in our lives to watch and learn from, we can open the pages of this book and get just the examples you decided should be preserved in the word of God. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit this morning, God. We know, Lord, that the word can be used by Satan, as he did against you, Lord Jesus. Or there are false religions and cults and people, even with good hearts, but they might be deceived, that twist the scriptures and make it say things you never intended them to say. So, Lord, we don't want to own your word this morning. We want it to be the sword of the Holy Spirit. We want you to wield it like a sword, cutting things out of our lives, pointing us in directions we should go, giving us courage to face things that are overwhelming or intimidating to us. Lord, may your word do that. May we even forget what church we're with, where the retreat center was that we were at, who was speaking. But Lord, we'd remember what you said, and we'd hear it as from your very heart. Be glorified this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, our theme verse for this weekend. Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14, I'll be reading from the New King James Version in my notes. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now remember, this was preserved in the scriptures because God decided to have this. So even though this is a person speaking, the Holy Spirit preserved this person's experience as expressive of what we were to follow so many, 2,000 years later. This isn't just like a good story, a good example. It's beyond a good example. It's a God example. It's who God wanted us to learn from. And he picked Paul, who wrote this, to be an example to us. So we hold on to this and we go, wow, this is someone I can listen to and I can follow his life. I know lately in my daily devotions, I've been going through the letters of Paul and just jotting down not so much the truths that he taught, but when he reveals something about his own life, I've been writing things down, like, what does he do? How does he feel? What does he think is important? Because Paul set himself up as an example, and God chose him as someone we're to pattern our lives after. And I like him. I respect him. I want to learn from him. I'm so happy I can learn from him, even though he's in the presence of the Lord, that his life is preserved on these pages for me. I just respect him so much. And we have to remember, as Paul writes this, he just got done in verse 13 saying what he's forgetting, what he's leaving behind. And you covered that in your, I guess, your spring luncheon a little more. If you weren't at that, you can look a little later at the things that he left behind. But now he's saying, okay, apart from that, now I am pressing towards something. Whenever we turn or repent, like God commands men everywhere to repent, we turn away from something and we're going towards something else. And whenever we're called by God to leave something, it's usually because he has something else for us. Otherwise, we'd leave and we would be misguided, misdirected. We wouldn't have a direction. I encourage you that if there's any sin or behavior, pattern, attitude, relationship, that the Holy Spirit has clearly been telling you, you need to drop it. Until you drop it, you're not going to get what he wants to give you in place of that. I know it's hard. We grow comfortable in our patterns, even if they're sinful. It kind of starts to be who we are. You know, we're used to smoking, or we're used to just, you know, binge watching, or even if it's not sin, but just behaviors that God's saying, you know what, it's childish. You really don't need to do it anymore. Let's leave it. And we're like, but I'm used to it. I'm used to it. That's kind of called idolatry. It means we're like finding comfort from false comforters, even if it's not sin. And sometimes the Lord is calling us to reach for it, to grow up. You know, like, yes, he loves you. Just if you smoke or you don't smoke, it's really insignificant in the light of morality. But sometimes he says it's time. Or, you know, you don't exercise, or you're kind of lazy and you're used to, well, I like my house messy. It feels lived in, you know. And the Lord may be saying, well, you know what, it's okay, but now I'm going to train you in this. This isn't necessarily sin. Maybe you're not even lazy. You're just a real, you know, people person. You don't like dishes. Who does? But the Lord may call you to say, you know what, now we're going to get this area in order. So let's remember that when we leave something, it means we're reaching for something else. And let it go. You will have a period of disorientation. A little like, I don't know who I am. I'm used to this. That's okay. Because you know what? God doesn't want any of us to find our identity in what we do, but in who we know, in the Lord Jesus. And sometimes when things are unfamiliar, we come back to our first love. We say, I don't know how to do this. He goes, I know, but I'm going to show you. But I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to show you. I was sharing with someone this morning that just in my journey, recently the Lord was telling me, he said, Maureen, I need you to stop analyzing your environment and look ahead and figure things out. He goes, it's too much for you. He said, I'm the shepherd, and the shepherd is the one who navigates the environment. The sheep look at the shepherd. The shepherd watches the terrain. I said, okay, true, not easy. But I said, okay, I will do that. So when we turn, we're going in a direction. We're turning away from something, and we're reaching for it because we're going on. He says that he presses towards. I like he says, I press towards. I like the fact he says, I press toward. This is a choice and a decision. There are a lot of things in our lives that have nothing to do with our individual choices once we come to Christ. There's a lot of things that after we choose Christ, we are automatically placed in a position. When we are in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. Our lives are hidden with Christ and God. We are at peace with God. We are accepted. We are washed. We are clothed. We have been made near. These are things that just happen as soon as you are adopted, as soon as you believe that Christ went to that cross for your sins, and you believe in that sacrifice, and you believe that he rose from the dead, is sent it into heaven, and he becomes your Lord and Savior. There's a lot of things that just come with that package. Just come with it. Our position in Christ is sealed by the work of Christ. But there are things within our position in Christ that we actually choose. And here he says, I press on. I make this decision. If you don't know some of the things that have been given to you in Christ, I encourage you to take some time to really get familiar with that, because some of you guys are trying to do things that have already been done. That's just a waste of energy. You know, that's done. That's done in Christ. Let's get in tune with the things that we are called to choose, that we are called to make decisions about, and then make those decisions from a place of being accepted and being loved. This verse and this weekend is all about a choice we have in focus and effort and priority and pursuit. Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Earlier, Paul says in verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So we have to remember too that when we're pressing on, do you know we're really responding to him laying hold of us? We think we're really choosing, but we're not initiating. He's initiating, come, reach for it. And then we respond with reaching for it. You know, I know if we draw near to God, he does draw near to us. But I know he's laid hold of us. And he has this upward call of God. Look at it as God calling us upward. Come up, he says. Like there's something in us that is unsettled, even though we're settled. We're settled with God. We're not trying to, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven and this and that. But we have to be in a place where we also sense that the Lord is calling us towards him. It's an upward call of God. He says, I press on. I love it in this verse. He goes, not that I've already attained. Even though I'm accepted, even though I'm forgiven, even though I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ, even though my eternal account is sealed, even though when God looks at you and you and you and me who are in Christ, we are all equally righteous from an eternal perspective. Even though that has already happened, I really haven't already attained. I haven't grown up into all that I've been called to. I mean, it would be kind of like if we were adopted by royalty, by a king. We already have our position. We already have everything we're supposed to be, but we're growing up. The crown's a little big. You know, we're like trying to figure out how to act a certain way. I know I've been watching some different period pieces on Masterpiece through PBS, and I've been watching some of the background on the research that they do for the royalty and how they, everything they have to do and not do. And sometimes I just watch like how they eat and where they put the forks and, you know, how they answer things and how they conduct themselves. And I'm going, oh, what a headache. You know, like I'm so glad I was not in royalty at that time. But we are children of the King, and we're to reach for the call of God that we have in Christ. That you and I are so much more than we have yet matured into. And that's what the Lord is kind of giving us. That restlessness doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean that we don't have peace with God. That restlessness is an inner hunger for more and more and more. He says in 3:14, as we're looking at, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul presses upward. It's a higher purpose. Heaven is in his mind. It goes beyond his nature, becoming more and more like the Lord. He knows his life has a call that's rooted in heaven's perspective. He presses upward. To reach for it, he has to press on, he has to press forward, and he has to press upward. We are instructed by Paul's example. And first, let's look at the pressing on in Philippians 3:12. He says, I haven't already attained. I'm not already perfected, but I press on so that I can lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He sees himself as not already attained, not already perfected. Ladies, I know it's the obvious. We all know we haven't totally gotten there. But I'm going to encourage you that if for some reason you're very hard on people, you're very non-merciful, you're quick to hold people to what they've done, you're not in tune with this verse. That if this is true for Paul, it is true for every single person in this world. Our pastors, our husbands, our children have been raised in a Christian home. You know, they haven't already attained, nor are they perfected. When we're sinned against, let's lay claim to this and say, wow, Lord, amen. They really did a mean thing to me. Thank you that Philippians 3:12 is true. They haven't attained. They're not perfected. You're right again. Then you can forgive people. You can say, you know what? This is the state of mankind. Even if we are in Christ positionally, experientially, we are not fully transformed. This should help us be more merciful on one another and enjoy being in a church. If you go, oh, I can't find the right church, you know, it's you. It's not the church. You know, we're a bunch of ragamuffins. You know, we're all messed up. You know, that that would be like going into a hospital and going, I cannot believe all the sick people here. You know, like the church is made for sinners. And so we know that people sin. And we almost brace ourselves and expect people to sin. And that way we're prepared with forgiveness, ready to give it to them before they even know they've sinned against us. This keeps us loving one another and showing the world that we are his disciples by our love for one another, because it's a different kind of a love than the world has. It's a love that says, well, can you believe, and she did that, I know, she hasn't attained. Well, I can't believe that, no, she's not perfected, no, I get that. And your pastor did that, he's not perfected. And they go, what do you mean? They say, well, we're all being changed from glory to glory, and from grace to grace, and from strength to strength. So I can immerse myself in the midst of people, knowing I haven't attained, I'm not perfected, and I don't believe that other people are either. To reach for it, to all that the Lord has for us, we have to see ourselves as not having already attained and not already being perfected. That gives us the courage to go forward. Are you ever someone that might not choose to try something new because you're afraid of failure? Well, that means that you don't really understand that to reach for it, you have to anticipate failure. You have to anticipate learning. You have to anticipate growing. This is where many of us get old and stodgy and cranky and arrogant. That's not the way we used to do it. You know, we get old. You know, we don't need to get old. We can age, but we don't need to get old. We should be open, you know, to these newfangled devices and ask people to teach us how to use them. You know, we don't go, I don't text. I don't believe in texting. You know, stop. Just be open to new things. This keeps us teachable and humble, where we say, I don't know how to do that. Can you show me how to do that? Asking a junior hire to teach you something. I mean, that brings the body of Christ together. Then we don't have generational gaps. We have an interweaving of love. You pour in your experience and advice to the junior hire. They show you what hashtags are really all about. And you grow as a body of Christ. You know, we remain humble. We realize we are open to learning. If we can't learn something as non-weighty as some of the technology, how are we going to learn like new patterns of attitude and ways of doing things like Christ? You know, we have to remain really teachable and humble. The Lord wants his people to live with a dualistic identity. We have to really see ourselves as complete in Christ. And then we have to see Christ completing us. It has to happen at the same time. We have to first and foremost start with the fact that we are complete in Christ, or else we won't reach for it. In Colossians 2:8, turn to Colossians 2:8. The same apostle warns us. He says, beware. So he starts out with beware. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So as we're looking at reaching for it, we're going to stay here. As we reach for it, we have to reach for whatever the Lord has for us from a place of saying, I'm not doing this to be loved or accepted or to feel better about myself. It is the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on our behalf that should settle that identity crisis. We are worth the sinless, precious blood of the Lamb of God who died for our fornication, our homosexuality, our arrogance, our lying, our gossip, our backbiting, our unfaithfulness to people, our bitterness, our yelling at somebody on the 55 freeway. You know, he died for all of those things because he said, you know what? I want reconciliation with you. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. Nobody's good enough to get into heaven. We have all sinned. We have all blown it. And being good doesn't cancel out the bad things. If we have spots all over our shirts, if we put a bunch of bling on there, the bling does not take away the stain. It just shines and competes with it, but the stain is still there. We need a spot remover. We need to be cleansed of our sin. And it is only through the work of Christ on a Roman cross that takes away the sins of the world. And he did it because he loved us. For God so loved this world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him would gain and receive, not earn, eternal life. That's what his heart is. Verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was God the Son in the flesh. Verse 10, and you, in Colossians 2, you are complete in him. I want us all to really grasp that. We are complete in Christ. I know we've got a lot going down. I know we have to make some decisions. I know we're struggling with certain things, or God's trying to change this, or we're trying to stop doing this, but you can't reach for it unless you first know you are complete in him. Stand on that. When you try something new, when God's calling you forward, say, Lord, I'm going forward knowing I am complete. I haven't already attained. I'm not already perfected, but I'm complete. I know I'm worth the blood of Christ. I'm accepted. I'm loved. So if I go forward and make a mistake and I can't do this and I fall short, that's okay. I'm still just as loved once I accomplish it, once I get there. Even if we're going from glory to glory, even if we're on the upward call of God in Christ, all of us are complete in Christ. It says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Don't think you have to be good according to a religious standard towards any Christian denomination, towards a particular group that you identify with religiously. Those will not get us into heaven. Calvary Chapel Refuge is not the way. Jesus Christ is the way. We put names on our little meeting places because, you know, we can find it on Google Maps and stuff, but it's not really who we are. You know, we are complete in Christ. And let's be careful, ladies, about preaching a movement, an organization, a ministry, a speaker, giving credit and glory to anybody more than Jesus Christ. Let's never rob Jesus of the glory, attention, and pedestal that he so appropriately deserves for his tremendous sacrifice in conquering death by rising from the dead. We don't have to do anything to be accepted by God except believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ so we can be saved. It is only in Christ whose sacrifice for our sins makes us accepted, cleansed, and adopted. Get it through your head. A lot of you guys kind of know that theoretically, but you're not living in that zone of acceptance. I think I've shared this before, but often I start out my day. I wake up in the morning and I say, it's finished. Before I get out of bed, I go, it's finished. Because Jesus says, it's finished. Before I get up and have to do this, you know, like as a woman, we're always, you know, right now, some of you guys are thinking, oh, did I leave those clothes in the washer? They're going to be mildewy and it's hot. And do I call? And okay, if you start out the day first just saying, it's finished, I'm complete in Christ. It's not once I joined this ministry, once I learned Greek, once I can argue Arminianism and Calvinism. These things do not make us complete in him. It is in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are complete in him. Sure, we're going to learn neat things this weekend. We learned neat things last night. But this doesn't make us more complete. It just makes us more like him. We are complete in Christ. We can't do anything or become anything that will make us more loved or more righteous in our eternal account. Knowing we are complete should motivate us to reach for it, to make us go forward. Because we're not waiting once I get there, right? It's the spiritual proverbial carrot on the stick syndrome. You know, like once I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, once I speak in tongues, once I speak in front of people, once I can fast for 2 days, once I can, you know, no, you are complete in him. That's why we can go forward with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we can go forward being transformed. We can go forward stepping out in faith and getting it. And Peter was Jesus' disciple before he walked on the water. You know, this is the way that it is. We can reach for it because we are not motivated by the need for acceptance or to earn God's love. We reach for it because we are accepted, because we are loved. We feel safe going forward. Philippians 1:6, going back to Philippians, Philippians 1:6, Paul telling us that he presses on towards this high calling. In Philippians 1:6, he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. He says, I'm confident of this. I'm going to encourage you guys to go forward, but even though you're going forward, you're really responding to the one who's calling you forward. Like, you guys are choosing, but you're choosing in response to him saying, come up hither. You know, come on up. Let's go a little further. Come on. I have more for you. And he's saying, I'm confident that he that began this work, he will complete. You will reach for it. You will not be settled staying where you are. You will be complete in Christ, and you'll know that there's more to experience within him. It is an ongoing process. That means we press on. I have not attained, I'm not perfected, but I press on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop here. I'm going to stop here as far as knowing I'm accepted, but I'm going to go forward to everything it means being adopted into the family of the King of Kings. I'm going to grow up as royalty. I'm going to learn what it means. And I know when I first got saved, I was overwhelmed with how spiritual everybody was. I remember going, I'll never get there. You know, these women were just like, shoot, holy, you know what I'm saying? And I just wasn't. I believed in Jesus. I knew I was saved, but I had a lot of, you know, kind of relearning to do to catch up to who God saw me as. And I remember in college, I was in a Christian sorority called Alpha Delta Chi. And all these gals were, they all went to Scott Memorial Baptist Church, where Tim LaHaye was the pastor. And they all grew up Baptist, and they were Baptist. And I went to Calvary, and I was at, you know, Horizon down in San Diego. And, you know, we're all surfer people and, you know, wore shorts to church. And, you know, because that's all I knew. And they wore dresses to all the meetings. And they just talked so kindly all the time. And they just were so gentle and so filled with faith and soft. And, you know, I was like, I was all loud. And, you know, I remember just looking around going, I am not one of them. I felt, and they were not condescending. They were just so transformed already. Do you know what I'm saying? That you're going, ah, I didn't even know where all the books of the Bible were. I was like, I don't even know where to find these things. What, why do they know words I don't know? You know, they all laugh. And I didn't get it, you know, because I had so far to go. But I know that I remember seeing different people and saying, you know what? I don't want that to threaten me. I want that to challenge me. That I see people shining like the Lord, and I say, they're made of the same stuff I'm made of. And if Christ started that work in them and has gotten them to this point, he most certainly can do that in my life as well. You know, we're not in a, you know, high school where we're all, you know, competing for, you know, who's going to win most spiritual at the award ceremony. You know, we're not in that kind of competition. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same team. And we're rooting and cheering for one another. We have to be confident for other people. That's what some people don't realize, that Philippians 1:6 was not Paul saying, I'm confident that the work that Jesus has started in me, he will complete it. We always claim this for ourselves. It was written out of confidence for what God was doing in someone else's life. It's believing when somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I'm confident. He that began a good work, he's going to complete it in you. We believe this on behalf of other people. It is ongoing. We have to press on in order to reach for it. We have to continue. We have to know there is more ahead. I like that it says, I press on. This means continue, uninterrupted. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stay on this path. I know when you're first saved, it's a whole new world. And you're kind of like, wow, like this is a whole new world. And sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. I remember too, just thinking there was so much to learn. How was I ever going to learn it all? And I loved everything. Like I remember, oh, that's good. Oh, shoot, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want, oh, like preaching the gospel, evangelism, the homeless. Oh my goodness. Caring for the elderly. Oh, the poor. I wanted to sign up for everything in the bulletin, you know, because it all just sounded so good. Like, oh, I want to be in a Christian band. Oh, I want to marry a preacher. Oh, I want to do this. Like everything just was so good but sometimes it's a little overwhelming because you can't do all of it at once. And you have to start going, well, you know what? I'm not going to get overwhelmed by opportunity. I'm going to ask God to lead me on. I press on He leads on. I respond to the prompting of His Holy Spirit. Some of you being here this weekend, I'm so proud of you because it was hard for you to get here in your soul. You know, maybe you're just someone that has a hard time being around a lot of people. You know, you might have a little social anxiety. You might be like a little insecure, or you know you're really sensitive and you misread what people say sometimes, but you pressed on. He says, you know what? I know it's good to gather in the name of Jesus. I know it's good to worship with other people. I'm not going to let my personality tell me to stop. I'm going to follow Jesus. And that you know, that's some of you, major victory that you're even here. And I just want to commend you for obedience and for coming up the mountain and saying, you know what? It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. You know, some people, it's difficult to go, you know, live in Ecuador in a hut. For other people, it's difficult to come up into a women's retreat. It's almost the same weight on someone's personality. But you fought through that. You pressed on. You didn't stop. No, I'm going to be constrained by who I am. We're not supposed to live by who we are. We're supposed to live by who He is and become who He is wanting us to be. This is why there's a sense of, I have a potter and I'm the clay. And He's making me into something I wouldn't have become without His hands in my life. And I love the idea that a potter doesn't just go on the outside of the vessel, but His hands go in the vessel to shape it. He's within us and He surrounds us. And He's making us into something different than we would have been if we didn't know Him. You know, we think about it with your past, with your parents, with the way you were raised, with your propensities. You know, we all have our little propensities, the way we lean. And Jesus came in and just started straightening it. We'd all be that Leaning Tower of Pisa if the Lord wouldn't have put us together and starts building us in a way that is sturdy and makes sense. How many of us have read the scriptures and we go, I remember when I first saved, I remember reading things and going, man, I am so not like that. Like, I read things, I go, but that sounds right. But that is so not the way that I, like, that's not how I cope. You know, and I said, so I better like stop doing that because that's probably not a healthy way to mature and to become. And that He is fashioning us. We don't quit. We reach for it. We position ourselves to go on. Paul's situation at this time was that he was in prison when he was writing this. I don't know if you realize that. He was in prison. He wasn't like running around like, ah, I'm traveling over here to preach the gospel, and tomorrow I'm going to go visit these people, and I'm going to be at the synagogue, and he's stuck, and yet he's pressing on. How do you press on when you're stuck? It has a lot to do with your mind and how you're seeing where you are. He doesn't see himself as on hold. He is pressing on in prison. And he's in a place in prison where at any minute he could hear someone walking down into that prison ready to take him and execute him. He was terminal. He was in a prison that he could die at any time, depending on the whims of those pagan leaders who would make a decision to sacrifice a Christian because they were tired of the way they were turning the world upside down, Paul in particular. He is seeing himself as pressing on, continuing, even though he's restricted, even though he's in a place he didn't choose to be and he certainly didn't want to be. He wasn't able to do the things that he thought pressing on was. Can I encourage all of us, don't define what reaching for it is. Don't define that. Don't decide that. Discover it. Ask God, what am I reaching for right now in this prison, in this place I don't want to be in? All he wants to do for the Lord, all he was used to doing for the Lord, teaching, visiting, encouraging, preaching the gospel, he couldn't do anything that he would interpret as pressing on, as reaching for it. He had to discover, what am I reaching for here? Because this isn't where I want to be. Y'all been, or maybe are in, a place you'd rather not be by no choice of your own? And you're like, ugh. You know, how do I want to get out of this? I encourage us not to get out of anything that we're in, but to reach for what we can reach for in that scenario that we couldn't reach for if we weren't in it. There's something in that prison that God wants to do. Philippians 1:12, he kind of explains to the brethren in Philippians 1:12. He says, I want you to know. I like the fact that he says, I want you to know something. That means you probably don't know this. I really want you to know this, you guys. He's telling, because you know they're probably all out there saying, oh, Paul, and he's such a good man. He's used by the Lord, and he's thrown into prison. This is terrible. Kind of God would do that to Paul. I don't know if I should follow him. That doesn't make sense. I don't understand. I thought when you serve the Lord, you're the head, you're not the tail. You have blessings. You go in, you go everywhere. Your foot travels. You get that land, whatever they were claiming from Deuteronomy. And they were like talking about it. He goes, you guys, I want you to know something about my prison experience. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that these things which happened to me, Philippians 1:12, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Because you guys think the gospel is like hindered, but I'm letting you know that these things that happened to me that I would never have chosen, that I think is like, oh my gosh, I can't go around and preach, I can't reach, but it's actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Because I want you to know this. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to know that God has taken this prison and used it for the furtherance of the gospel. In your prison, have you bowed your head and said, Lord, may this prison be used for the furtherance of the gospel? Use it. Use it. Verse 13, he says, you know what? It's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. We're just going, oh, break every chain, break every chain. Lord goes, no, keep the chain, keep the chain. Some of the chains are in Christ. They're in Christ. They're keeping you somewhere God wants to keep you because he has a specific purpose for that chain, for the glory of the gospel, so that people he died for would know that he has. It will take you to places, to people that people are praying for, and you're getting connected there in that chain to reach out to that person. He says, no, 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 the whole palace guard. I don't think Paul would have just knocked on the palace. I'd like to teach a Bible study. You know, he just wouldn't have done that. But the Lord said, oh, no, no, you've reached the Jew, you've reached the Gentile. Let's get you over here in the whole Roman system. They need the Lord. And he says, and verse 14 says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, they've become confident by my chains. They're bold to speak the word without fear. They see that I got in prison for preaching the gospel and I'm doing fine. So they're going, oh, I'll preach too. If I end up in prison, I'll be fine too. I see him handling these chains in the Lord. I'm not afraid of the chains anymore. He's okay. And we all know the blessing is we have a whole retreat because he was in chains. We wouldn't have this written in Philippians if he didn't sit down in prison and write it. He was always moving. You know, he's a type A person. But he was stuck because the Lord's going, oh, no, we got to write this down because I have not shown them how to record things, MP3s. They don't have any of that. We only are going to have scrolls going down, so I got to get you somebody to write the scrolls. See, sometimes we think we know what reach for it is. He reached for it. He went to prison, and that was where the Lord was taking him. And he goes, no, no, no. I would have you know that it has worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. He says, I'm in chains and I'm in prison, but I'm still pressing on. He's saying this while he doesn't see himself getting out. He says, God's not done with me. He goes, you know what? Even these situations have happened to me and they're being used by God. I'm pressing on. I'm reaching for it, even though physically I can't do anything. I'm going further in my heart, further in my relationship with Christ, and God is using it to touch other people. How selfish are we as believers to think it's all about us? My Bible says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. We're supposed to be poured out like a drink offering, Paul says. Where we're going, Lord, I'll go through it if it'll help someone else. That's the heart of Jesus. Can you do that? Oh, no. Yeah, Lord, I'll take this if it will help someone else know you. Are you there yet? You might not be. That's why you're here. Because the Lord's saying, you've got to get there. You've got to get out of this narcissistic false gospel and get back to what it means to really say, I am a disciple of Jesus. And whatever happens to me, I believe can happen for the furtherance of the gospel to even give other people more boldness. Didn't Jesus do that for us? Didn't he do that for us? Didn't he go through a death he never had to go through so that we would never have to go through the death we had to go through? I mean, and we always say, you know, make me like you, Lord, but not where I have to die myself. We have, sometimes we kind of have to snap out of an American mindset and go, wait a minute, I'm in chains. I'm in a prison. I don't like this. But I give it to you for the furtherance of the gospel. Talk about suddenly feeling like you're reaching for it. You don't feel it. Some of you guys feel so stuck. So stuck because you're looking at what you've decided what life should be. You know, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you just believed like it's a nice place. They have crafts. This babsing is funny. I like it. But you're not really saying, I am a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. Do it this weekend. Get out of that life. It's not, you're really difficult to live with. You don't like your life. Get out of that and learn what it is for the way of the cross. Follow Paul's example. He's saying, my circumstances do not stop my reaching for it. I'm going to reach forth in the prison. I'm going to press on. Philippians 3:17. Paul says in Philippians 3:17. When he's talking about this, he says, and I like him. You know, he says, I want you to know. I just want you to know that the way you guys are interpreting the way my life is going is just not the way it's going. And he says in Philippians 3:17, he goes, brethren, you guys, come on, join in following my example. He's saying, come on, reach for it. Join with me in this. I'm so thankful Paul was in prison. So many of the epistles were written when he had that downtime, when he was stuck. What are things you can do in the prison that you couldn't do if you didn't have it? Start asking God for that. What can I do while I have this situation I don't want to be in that I would have never chosen? What am I supposed to do? So, you know, sometimes, you know, your child may be addicted to drugs and you get custody of those grandchildren. And you're going, I was going to be, and it is a time of grieving. If you're thinking, but we were retiring, we were going to travel, I raised all my children, now I'm responsible for a whole next generation. And even though you love your grandkids, there is a real mind shift that has to go on. And you're saying, you know what? This is where I am. This is where I am. I'm going to go on in this. I'm not going to let this interrupt my life. I'm going to let this be my life. I'm going to take it. I'm going to drink the cup that God's handling me. I'm not going to just look, I'm going to drink it and have it become part of my identity. I'm going to accept this. See, this false gospel, just reject that in Jesus' name. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Can you imagine Paul being in prison? I rebuke that. I just believe I'm not in prison. And as I believe, I'm going to speak it and it's going to happen. It's just not really biblical doctrine. It's a twisting of the scriptures leading many people to shipwreck in their faith. A lot of nice people believe these things. A lot of them are saved, but they're just not taught correctly. So we have to be careful about these false doctrines. He says, join in following my example. Do you want to be someone that can turn around and say, join in following my example? Handle your life the way that I'm handling mine. We need more people like that. We need more people that we can look at and say, they're doing it. I can do it. No, it happened for the first time. That could happen in my situation as well. Let's be contagious with the reaching for it, the pressing on. We press on knowing He is going to use us and He's going to transform us wherever we may find ourselves. Paul is not moaning. He's not complaining. He's not rebuking. He's not standing still. He's not pouting. He is pressing on in prison. The first thing we need to do to reach for it is to decide, you know what? I'm going to press on right where I am. We know when we reach for something, we're somewhere else. Let's accept where we are. And know that we need to make a decision to press on. Let's not quit. Let's cooperate with where we are and say, Lord, I don't want to be here, but you put me here. I'm going to reach for what I have in this lane. The Bible says in Romans 12 to run the race that is set before you, not the race that you're deciding to run. Run it. Run it to win. Run it to win. Don't fight it any longer. Say, Lord, I accept where I am. And I believe that where I am is the position from which you want me to reach for it. Lord, thank you for these truths. We ask and pray, Father, that these would really equip us. Lord, you know life is very difficult. You know that because sin entered through Adam, that there's death because of sin. There's corruption. There are consequences. And Lord, sometimes they're very, very weighty for us. But I thank you, Lord, that you want to help us through those things. You want to navigate for us. And so, Lord, may these truths equip us as your people to hold on to things that remain. So the things that are easily shaken off of us will just fall off. So we can run without so much weight on us, confusion, misunderstanding of what it means to follow you. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for preserving these truths. And thank you for creating Paul. And thank you for Paul's obedience. And thank you that we can join in following his example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.